The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Line is brought to you by the Bahamas Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, the Free National Movement, Kelly's Home Center, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, the Tourism Development Corporation, and Wendy's.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today at some point on the show, when I open up the show for that, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. We are live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. I have with us today the Member of Parliament, immediate past of the East Grand Bahama constituency and the Free National Movement standard bearer for that constituency in Grand Bahama, former Minister of State for Finance, former Senator, the Honorable Attorney at Law, the Honorable J. Kwesi Thompson. How are you, sir?
I am doing very good, Chivago. I'm doing very good. I see you almost got tripped up there. You know, we are no longer members of Parliament.
Well, you know, I got it right. You know, I know these things. So I just said immediate past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are all now candidates. Yep. Obviously, with the exception of the cabinet, but we are all now candidates. So I am honored and privileged to be the candidate for the East Grand Bahama constituency. Hopefully, prayerfully, in the next few days, the Member of Parliament elect for the East Grand Bahama constituency.
So I want you to take note that we started talking to you at 12:23, so I'm with you until 1:23.
I take note.
Okay, there you go. We are like just under 4 days before the citizens of the country eligible to vote go to vote. So yes, we are very near the time. Yes. The rallies have heated up. The yes, rhetoric has been revved up. The advertisements have been yes, primed up. The yes, the dynamism is real.
Yes.
You had a big rally last night. You had a big hit out last night in former Prime Minister. Oh, yeah. So tell us your assessment of the state of play right now, 4 days in.
I think you accurately obviously described what the country is facing right now, days away from an election. I believe that the momentum is in the Free National Movement's favor. I think the rally, and I just want to talk a bit about the rally last night, because that was a major, major rally in New Providence. And for anyone who had any doubts about the support of the Free National Movement in New Providence, and the support of the leader, the support of the candidates, I think the Free National Movement knocked it out of the park last night. I think Hubert Ingram did a tremendous job last night.
Just before you go on, you know that the other side has people who they go take these aerial photos from way up in the sky, probably from the moon, and they try to suggest that your crowd is not a very good crowd. I have to tell you, I even get calls sometimes from some of your own supporters who may not have been, who were not in attendance.
Yeah.
In attendance. Who you mean, you know, I don't know, but these crowd sizes, et cetera. So tell us what you saw. You were there.
Well, I'll be honest, I was not there at the rally.
Okay.
I also observed it. I was online, watched it live. Because we were also on the ground in East Grand Bahama.
That's right. You had a rally there too, or something there too, right?
We were on the ground doing some campaigning.
Okay.
But I watched it live to the very end last night. And I was to the rally, to the previous rally in New Providence, the one that was on R.M. Bailey Park. And that crowd reminded me of the 2017 crowd. It reminded me of 1992 crowd. It was that old time R.M. Bailey. I walked the park from the stage all the way to the back wall, and there was a significant crowd, and it was to the point where when you were walking, you had to squeeze through people. When you were walking, it got uncomfortable because there were so many people that was crowded in the area. But last night's crowd, I thought, was even larger than the crowd at R.M. Bailey. And the excitement, the momentum, it transcended just being there. But it you felt it from live on YouTube. And then, you know, one thing that people also should bear in mind when they look at the crowd sizes, and, you know, I mean, you could take what you want from the crowd sizes, but when you look at the amount of live viewers on the online platforms, when you look at YouTube platform, and I looked at YouTube platform, there was over 1,500 people watching the rally live. And that was just YouTube. That was not including how many were watching from the Free National Movement site, watching from the other platform sites as well. I would venture a guess to say it was well over 3,000-4,000 folks who were watching live. And so you look at what the presence of the folks on the ground, and you look at those folks who were watching it live. My assessment, and this is my personal assessment, is that the country, more folks in the country are interested in what the Free National Movement is saying. And I believe that will also translate into what takes place on Tuesday. I believe that will translate.
You had a lot being said at the rally. Mr. Ingram said a lot.
he said, but you know, and you know this, but he is one of the most dynamic communicators that this country, I believe, has seen. He has a way of communicating a message that everyone can understand. And he speaks in a very clear, down-home kind of way that everyone will understand. And he made the case out quite clearly as to why the FNM ought to be elected and why the PLP should not be elected. He made the case out in terms of what the PLP was doing, what the PLP was not doing. And I think he made broke them down very simply. The passport issue, the issue of whether the government spending. He broke down whether or not the PLP deserves to have another 5 years in this. So he broke down issues about the advanced poll and the integrity of our process to be looking for. And the advanced poll also, you know, just speaking about the advanced poll, I witnessed that. It was a horrendous experience during the advanced poll in Grand Bahama. And I understand that it was very, very similar, in some cases worse, in New Providence. But the advanced poll in East Grand Bahama, we had folks who were on the line three, some 4 hours some standing up in the hot sun, senior citizens, those who were disabled. And I witnessed myself folks who were on the line and just physically could not stand any longer to be on the line, and they left. And
now,
it was
now, with that said, though, with that said, Mr. Singham also mentioned this. People are likely to face long lines, stand on the line also. So what do you do? I mean, knowing what I know, I'm going to go there prepared. So what do you do? You can't, there's nothing you can do now. They're going to do what they do. The register can be what it is. And you gotta, if you want to vote, you got to vote.
Well, you know, we had a, and I will commend the PRD in Freeport and the police force in Freeport. We had a very, after the advance poll, we had what I believe was a productive meeting where they called all the political parties together. They called all the senior membership of the police force, and they called all of the returning and presiding officers in all of the constituencies together. Including all of the candidates and their agents and so on. And we were able to articulate the issues that took place during the advance poll, what the challenges were, what the issues were. And they were able to, in some instances, make some adjustments, made some commitments in terms of tents and umbrellas and, you know, making sure that they can have possibly a numbering system that they can use for seniors who, you know, don't necessarily have to stand in the hot sun all day waiting. And so I think that part of it was productive. But I believe Bahamians, this election, Bahamians are determined that they're going to vote. And they will do whatever is necessary, I think, to vote. And some who left during the advance poll, they left during the advance poll only because they understood that they would have had another chance to come back during the election day. And hopefully during their poll would have had less people to vote. Now, East Grand Bahama has the largest number of registered voters in the Bahamas, 6,900 plus registered voters in East Grand Bahama. And there are some polls that they had to split into two, and even splitting those polls into two, you still have 700 folks who are on in some of those polls. So in those kinds of polling stations, we may see some similar issues, but I think if we have the tents, possible numbering system for the seniors and disabled, and also taking account that you will have Bahamians who are just shared determined to vote. And I'm seeing that same similar older spirit where Bahamians, and this is older Bahamians and some younger Bahamians. I spoke to some younger first-time voters who get it, and they get the importance of it. They get that this is their voice. They get that this is the opportunity that they have to hold the government, to hold their leaders accountable and to participate and to show their voice. So they get it. They are going to take advantage of it.
You got you have on the eve of an election, the governing party purchasing a major power company. What did you know about that, and what do you think about that?
Well, let's start from a resolution that the PLP had brought forward in the House of Assembly, I think a couple of months ago, where they said that they were going to, and they were making different announcements, and you know, then the power company would come back and say, no, there's no sale yet. And then they made that when they did the resolution, going to borrow the money. My question was, what is the deal? We were being asked at that point to approve the borrowing of funds, or approve borrowing funds, because it would still be, even though it was a different company and the government was guaranteeing it, that was just the company to hold the assets. But there's the government really that's paying for it. But we were being asked to borrow monies or to approve the borrowing of monies without understanding what the deal was, without understanding what is the purchase price, what is included in the deal, what assets are included in the deal, what did IRCA say, what did IRCA's assessment say. And then one of the biggest issues that we had was in the Ministry of Finance itself, there is a, under the Public Management Act, where in order for a government to guarantee a loan, there is an assessment that has to be done. And that assessment would be done through the Debt Management Committee. And there's a whole protocol, a whole established
protocol. But this isn't a loan the government has to guarantee. This is a direct loan, no? Or
this was a loan that the government was guaranteeing.
That's what it was for. So BPL borrowed this money?
No, not BPL, but there was a special purpose vehicle that was brought into effect, and they were borrowing the monies, and the government was guaranteeing it. But obviously, the special purpose vehicle was just for the purpose of holding or doing the loan, and then the government itself. So in essence, it was the government borrowing the money. But if you are coming to Parliament through a process where you are asking Parliament to approve the government guaranteeing this, then you should still go through, or you mandated actually by law to still go through the established assessment through the Ministry of Finance, through the Debt Management Committee. They assess it, and then they report as to what should happen.
That really is remarkable at any event, because even if you set up a special purpose vehicle, presumably, and the special purpose vehicle has to be owned by the government.
It is 100% owned by the Bahamas government.
So exactly, because had a shell company borrowed money from somewhere, the shell company doesn't have any assets
going concern to cause
a lender to say, yeah, I'm going to lend to you. So it's a government loan.
Correct. That's what.
It is in essence a government borrowed money. Yeah.
But what I think is more telling is, tell us, one, whether that assessment was done. Two, what was the results of the assessment?
What did IRCA say? This is very important.
Absolutely.
What did IRCA say? This is critically important. And listen, folks, before or after election, whether the government wins or don't win, it don't make no difference to me. It is absolutely essential that IRCA's position and thorough position on this is known.
Correct.
Absolutely not. Correct. That's the regulator. Yep. You don't sell, you don't buy, you don't change prices in this country without IRCA. And I'd be very interested to know how IRCA was able to wade through this process this way so quickly.
Chivago, you know, the first thing I heard a couple of maybe weeks ago, where IRCA was inviting public consultation, and then this happened. So I would be very, very interested, like you, would be very, very interested in seeing what IRCA's report was and what their assessment was when it came to purchasing this asset. So I think we have to, again, make sure that whatever it is that the government does, like you've been around quite some time. I've been around not as quite as long as you, but I've been around for quite some time too. And anything that is done days before an election that normally does not end well, if it is done days before an election. And so, I think everyone's antennas go up when things are done days before an election. And so we all look at this very, very cautiously.
But, you know, I mean, I was one of the lead players on the sale of the 51% of shares in BTC.
Yeah.
We caught eternal hell for that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, and we had one of the top accounting firms do the valuations.
Yep.
We were transparent. We put all the documents before the public, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. And all kinds of stuff we had to do. We are having assets of the country, BPL as an example, transferred to some special purpose vehicle with foreign investment participation without great wrangling, getting the kind of information. Now we have an acquisition by the government of a power company, and you really don't, how do you know I paid $200 million? How do I know that was a fair price and so forth and so forth? How do we know that?
Are questions that we raised when during the debate, when they were asking to borrow or asking to guarantee these funds. We ask, what is the valuation process that is happening? How do we know what the value of the companies are? How do we know the value of the assets? You say $200 million. How do we know that what we are purchasing is worth $200 million? Maybe it's worth more, maybe it's worth less. But how have you assessed that? How have you assessed what in terms of the operating cost, how have you assessed what the operating cost is going to be? I really believe, like I said, anything that is done days before an election, it normally does not end well. I'm not saying this will not end well. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying things that are done days before an election, the caution signs and the antennas, unfortunately, goes
well,
up.
Can I make a prediction, sir? I think that this might not go well, and let me tell you why. And this is just based on pure analysis.
Mm-hmm.
The government says it's going to reduce the bills of people.
Yes.
Now, unless that reduction in bills is simply a matter of usage, if it's a question of rates, which the government said will bring down, because they said BPL's rates are, and I quote, twice that of Nassau.
Yeah.
If you halve the rate at the power company, you can't halve the cost at the power company.
Yep.
That's not possible.
Yep.
And unless that power company is making exorbitant profits, which I do not believe it is,
yep,
unless it's making exorbitant profits, you can't help but have a situation we end up with BPL when the rates were cut back in 2003, and the revenues were down, and BPL ended up in a loss position for the rest of its life.
Somebody is going to pay for it.
Absolutely, it's going to happen.
Somebody is going to pay for it. I mean, I think your assessment, I guess, is spot on, because, again, if the power company was attempting to make the case that they needed to raise rates.
Yes.
In order to keep their operating costs, to keep the operating costs going. And so you are now placing the power company in a situation where they are now, or what the government is saying, they are now going to be reducing their rates and unifying their rates. But it is, again, economies of scale. Grand Bahama's rates were compared to their economy of scale. Nassau's rates is compared to its economy of scale. Cat Island's rates is compared to what Cat Island...
Which is why Nassau subsidizes Cat Island, Long Island, Anderson, correct, now will end up subsidizing Grand Bahama. And Freeport, which gets duty-free extensions on the things that the power company gets.
Yep. So I think, you know, before I can make an educated comment on what is going to happen, whether this is going to be successful, not going to be successful, I really would need to see, one, what IRCA's assessment was, and two, what the details of the deal is. And that's one thing, and I do not apologize when I say that is one thing that the PLP has been very bad at, and that is telling the public why they are doing things and what they are doing. They have been extremely bad at being transparent in terms of what is happening, and have been governing in the dark and letting people guess as to what they are, what the situation is and what's happening on the ground. And that has to change. I think people deserve to know the answers. Bahamians are smart enough to be able to understand what it is you're doing and why you're doing it.
Deserve to know. You're an attorney. If you do my business, is there something you could keep from me doing my business?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay.
You, in fact, you ought to get the permission first to do what you're doing if you are acting on behalf of someone.
Oh, unless I fully authorize you. Exactly. Go ahead.
Yes.
And do. Okay. Yes. We're going to take a break. Mr. Thompson, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're here with Jake Crazy Thompson, the Free National Movement's candidate for East Grand Bahama. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody,
come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The FNM can't agree on anything except attacking everything started by the PLP. Now Michael Pintard is calling for a reset, but it's stop, review, and cancel again. Imagine, new airports, canceled. School breakfast, canceled. Upskill, canceled. The National Youth Guard, canceled. Energy reforms, canceled. Their crew would roll back progress. The FNM, not strong enough to lead us forward, but petty enough to drag us back. Paid for by the PLP.
Wendy's has brand new chicken tenders.
And they're everything you've been craving.
Crispy, juicy,
and seasoned just right.
These tenders bring the flavor from the very first bite.
Dip them,
dunk them,
love them.
With sauces like sweet chili,
scorching hot,
ranch,
honey barbecue,
honey mustard,
and Wendy's signature sauce.
Grab them as a kid's meal.
Enjoy them on their own.
Or make it a combo
that hits the spot
every time.
For tenders you're gonna know by name,
it's gotta be Wendy's.
Are you a tourism business owner or ready to become one? At the Tourism Development Corporation, we work with tourism entrepreneurs at every stage, turning ideas into thriving businesses and helping existing ones grow. From business development support and funding opportunities to targeted initiatives and strategic partnerships, we're here to help you take that next step. Build your future in tourism with the Tourism Development Corporation. Visit tdcbahamas.com to learn more.
The world is changing. It's bringing new challenges, but also new opportunities. The truth is, our economy always left too many Bahamians out. Now we're opening new doors in agriculture, tourism, energy, entrepreneurship, providing grants, scholarships, national service, and upskilling. A new generation is rising, and we're finally moving in the right direction, building an economy that includes everyone.
Paid for by the PLP.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody,
come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on Thursday afternoon, where we're speaking with Jay Crazy Thompson, Free National Movement's candidate for the East Grand Bahama constituency. By the way, Mr. Candidate for Grand Bahama, you know, I took the opportunity to go and check the certified register to make sure my name was on the register, since I had to transfer from a constituency in Nassau to a constituency in Grand Bahama. I was able to do that, and the folks in Grand Bahama, the PRD, were very helpful, very efficient in helping me do that. When I went, though, to check the register, so I'm on the register, and so is my daughter. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute, please, so you could.
Yes.
But I'm on the register. I'm in the right address, but I'm on the wrong island.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, I mean, it don't matter to me because my polling constituency and polling division is right. I'm just saying, in terms of the category island, it says New Providence, while everything around me says Grand Bahama. So,
oh wow! So, well, let's just hope that you don't have any issues when you.
That can't give me no problems, bro. I can't even see them because the polling division and its constituency are the same, Marco City, and they got, you know, Marco City ain't in New Providence.
It's not New Providence.
So the other thing is, my daughter registered in Toronto, hoping to vote in Toronto because she's a student.
Yes.
And when she went to go register, she didn't know this. I had the parliamentary commissioner on. He mentioned while he was on the show that overseas voting and advanced polls were two different votings, even though they would take place on the same day.
But
what we did not know, and the law does say this, he didn't say this, so we did not know. But you are, the student, and many students are finding this out now, and are in a bit of a quandary in terms of what to do. They're now finding out that they needed to apply to vote in overseas voting.
Yes.
And I spoke to one consulate officer who they themselves were only just now realizing that advanced poll, overseas voting were two different things, and people had to apply for both things.
Yes. I recently I just learned that as well. And just sort of going through this process to advise constituents. But they had to, it's a different form and you have to apply. And if you did not apply, then you can't participate in it. Because, I mean, it's obvious because you have to send the counterfoils to the different voting stations at the consulates. Right. And so they have to be there and so on. And what I also just found out as well, I didn't check this with the law yet, but what I also found out from the PRD was that if you were a student and you did not participate in the voting, but you applied, you applied and they put your name on the register to vote overseas, and you did not vote overseas, something happened and you didn't get to go and vote, that may be your only opportunity to vote.
I didn't see that in the law when I read it. I didn't see that. I might be. I mean, I'm not saying it's not there, but I didn't see that.
I can't even imagine
how that makes sense.
I heard an official from the PRD say it, but as I said, I haven't checked it yet. In terms of what the law actually says,
I can't even see how that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, like, you can't give me a basis or logic, because if you vote in the overseas, then they know who voted, and so you can send that ahead of time and say
they would send your ballot.
they have to, or even a list of people who voted.
Yeah.
You voted. So there can't be any confusion about me double voting.
Yeah.
So but now I'm disenfranchised because I missed people who couldn't vote in the advance poll can vote in the general election.
Absolutely.
So what principle could explain rationally that that's not possible for a student? Really? We want to do that to a student?
I couldn't understand it, but like I said, I have to check it with the law to see whether they were accurate or not.
If we put it in the law, we dumb. All of us who put it in the law, we dumb.
But you saying your daughter, you know, one thing that and I'm also beginning to understand this as well, is my oldest daughter, this is going to be her second time voting. My second daughter, this is going to be her first time voting. And so the two of them are home, or they're going to be home in any event. They're going to be voting for one is going to be their second time. The other is going to be her first time voting. And they are all excited. They are very excited by the process, want to understand the process, understand the voting process. So I'm proud of them that they are fully on board. But I think this, as I said, this election is going to be a historic election. I believe that we're going to have historic numbers come out to vote. But I believe it is going to be a historic election. I thought that you were going to also ask me about this Fiscal Responsibility Council.
I was going to get to that. Your former Minister of State for Finance. I noticed the Fiscal Responsibility report just came out. Your thoughts?
You know, we actually, the Free National Movement was the government that put the Fiscal Responsibility Council in place. We passed a law that did it, implemented the first one. And again, the concept of this is that it should be an independent body that is able to do an assessment on the government's processes with respect to the budget, midterm budget, fiscal, the fiscal reports, so that they can give an honest, independent answer. And the government actually appoints the people. I mean, there's some that they are appointed by virtue of their office, but you know, the government is able to make some appointments. We thought that was it was a little strange, but because it should have been the speaker who does it, but nevertheless, the government did it. But the report was telling in terms of their last report was in terms of the assessing the midterm budget process, and they had some quite startling things to report. One was the their doubt on the government's being able to achieve the $75 million surplus. They made mention about the revenue being down, the domestic top-up tax, that their doubt in terms of the $130 million that the government has projected, they seriously doubt that that's going to be manifested. They had, and this is the second time that they have mentioned this, where the PPP program, where they have called upon the government to be transparent. And this is, you know, I can't sort of stress this point enough, where the government's own independent assessment mechanism is calling upon the government to be transparent with spending and the what debt is owed with respect to the PPP program. You know, we have been mentioning this for years, that the government is entering into these PPPs, which we believe are just off-the-book loans, but they are entering into millions, millions and millions of dollars worth of PPPs agreements. And we do not know, they are not done through the budget process. So the expenditure is not done through the budget process. The borrowing is not done through the budget process. And so we do not know what financial debt risk are carried with respect to these PPPs. Now you have the Fiscal Responsibility Council, who has the second time, because their first report they made mention of it, this is now their second time they are calling upon the government to be transparent with respect to this. And also international agencies have also been calling upon the government to be transparent with respect to these PPP processes.
I think one of the things that the Fiscal Responsibility Report points to, it seems to be saying that the lack of updated information in light of changes in forecasts, et cetera, that hampers their ability to really comment on whether something in the way of revenue expenditure might be met or adjustments haven't been made in light of changed circumstances.
Well, I think the government obviously has made adjustments, but they have not made any adjustments to
the revenue and expenditure on the basis of that.
Exactly. And you know, obviously the whole bottom line of your projections of expenditure and revenue is based upon those macro forecasts, amongst other things, but it's based upon the macro forecasts. So that their question is, well, how can you make the adjustment to do that, but you have not made any adjustments, and how can we rely on these figures if you have not made any adjustments to the revenue and to the expenditure forecast? So
we have to go to the news break.
Yes.
And then when we'll come back and take you into your 23 minutes, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're here with Mr. J. Crazy Thompson, Free National Movement candidate for the East Grand Bahama constituency. We'll be back after the news.
Everybody!
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. A paid political message by the Free National Movement's candidate for Fort Charlotte, Travis Robinson.
Fort Charlotte, stand up! Bahamas, wake up! All across this nation, time to see the truth clear now. Tell Brave and Sebas, all money ain't good money. FNM, we ready. Hey! Hey, hey. Brave say he love the poor man, but the poor man can't see no plan. Sebas get rich, now we run the land, while Bahamians catching hell again. Big mansion, big car, big talk. But can't walk the people walk. All that money and still can't rest. Power hungry, heart can't bless.
All money ain't good money.
Brave, you know, you sell the soul of the nation for a number show. Save us county million FNM say no. Fort Charlotte rise, let the truth flow.
All money ain't good money.
A paid political message by the Free National Movement's candidate for Fort Charlotte, Travis Robinson.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Make Mother's Day unforgettable with Kelly's House and Home's Mother's Day sale starting Friday, May 1st through Saturday, May 9th. Save 20% on a lovely selection of dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. We have beautiful gifts that let mom know just how much she's appreciated. Shop early and enjoy 20% off at Kelly's House and Home during our Mother's Day sale, May 1st through 9th. Happy Mother's Day with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you a tourism business owner or ready to become one? At the Tourism Development Corporation, we work with tourism entrepreneurs at every stage, turning ideas into thriving businesses and helping existing ones grow. From business development support and funding opportunities to targeted initiatives and strategic partnerships, we're here to help you take that next step. Build your future in tourism with the Tourism Development Corporation. Visit tdcbahamas.com to learn more.
5 years, we struggle as they rule. Our economy in ruins. Job prospects dried up. Hundreds of millions spent on no-bid contracts. Illegal immigrants flooded our communities. Our schools and hospitals broken. And healthcare unaffordable. Now they want 5 more years. If they get it, our future, our Bahamas, is gone. Under the FNM, that changes. Because they know their job is to work for you, not the few.
Every job I've had, I've learned something invaluable. When I was in construction, my brother made us look for the screws and the nails in the dirt because your job could be held up. One of the sayings was, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean. You are always on the clock. The FNM knows a strong economy means better jobs, more money in people's pocket, and a real comeback. And our team will work every day to make it happen.
This message was paid for and authorized by the Free National Movement.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're here with J. Crazy Thompson, the Free National Movement's candidate for the East Grand Bahama constituency. The elections are less than 4 days away. Next week, Tuesday, people will be voting and will be determining who will be the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Mr. Thompson, the former Prime Minister Ingram, who seems to have the waters of people running now, I found it kind of that people are trying to downplay Mr. Ingram, saying, you know, he's irrelevant and these kinds of stuff, except that the PLP is doing a great deal of responding to him. I mean, I've seen something from the Director of Communication saying that the FNM is hiding behind him now and so forth. I can't imagine how somebody so it could be taking up so much attention of an opposition party. But he mentioned his concerns about the fraudulent documents and so forth and so forth. And I see something is being investigated in Grand Bahama now.
Yes. You know, I saw it just recently as well, where it looks like a fraudulent It is alleged to be a fraudulent NIB card, and that a person was in possession of the fraudulent NIB card, and that the NIB number seemed to have been
assigned to someone else,
and so that is being investigated. But you know, this again, it speaks to what I think has been a huge, huge issue of fraudulent documents, fraudulent NIB cards, fraudulent passports. It speaks to the huge, huge concern that Bahamians have and anger that Bahamians have that foreigners are seemingly coming in and taking advantage of our system. Also, there may also be some internal folks who are unfortunately being taken or being corrupted in facilitating these things. But there should be an outrage. There should be an outrage by every Bahamian that this has taken. And Mr. Ingram made this point. And I thought it was a significant point that what is in danger is every single Bahamian's reputation when they travel. Because if they travel based upon a passport, Bahamian passport, which in previous accounts have always been no issues in terms of reputation, having one of the most valuable passports in the world. But if that reputation is now in jeopardy or in danger, and folks are having difficulty in relying on the genuineness of a Bahamian passport, that could put all of us in jeopardy when we travel. And so I think every Bahamian ought to be outraged. The government, unfortunately, is not taking it seriously. The leader, Michael Pintard, in House of Assembly, when he raised this in the House, he raised this outside of the House, he raised this during press conferences to raise the alarm. And unfortunately, the government didn't take it seriously. They still do not seem to be taking it seriously. And that's why, again, every Bahamian really needs to be very, very concerned. And you know, that speaks to the rally message, which is this election is bigger than red, it's bigger than yellow. This election really is about saving our country, saving our sovereignty. And so I think that message has resonated throughout. I've had folks who are PLPs, folks who don't support any political party. They are outraged by this. And they are saying, I'm coming to vote because of this issue. I'm coming to vote because of this passport issue. I'm coming to vote because of this issue where folks are being able to take advantage of the system and to access these documents. So one thing that the Free National Movement has dedicated itself to is the SHIELD program, to make sure that when we are able to become the government, that is the first thing that we will have to address, is to protect our sovereignty, to protect our documents, to protect our passports, protect our NIB cards, and to ensure that no one can come and take advantage, and no one can come and have these fraudulent passports and fraudulent NIB cards. And it is very concerning that it has now come to Grand Bahama and has now permeated itself into Grand Bahama. But again, I'm only going based upon what was reported by the police in that alleged incident.
Well, the thing about it is, it's kind of interesting to this extent that, you know, the prime minister said, so in response to people who were saying we had a immigration crisis, he said we did not. This was almost a year plus ago. He said yes. There was not a crisis. And at the time I said, you know, maybe there's not a crisis as in a broad-based corruption of our immigration system or something of that nature. Yeah. But I said there is a crisis in the heads of Bahamians about it. Yes, and that's the most important thing, that your citizens have to have confidence that the things they hold sacred are in fact sacred and being guarded with that degree of sacredness. And so even if you want to allow for, maybe this is just a lot of hype and people that you have to address the confidence that people have in the system. Now, where people were only speculating, now you're arresting people and putting them before the courts.
You know, I think you are so right in that point about making sure that we protect what is sacred to us. And you know, one of the most sacred things to Bahamians is to being able to hold that Bahamian passport, and at some point to be being able to vote as is your right as a citizen, and that is a sacred right as a citizen. What alarmed me the most, and this really I think alarmed most Bahamians as well, but what alarmed me the most, and which should have caused the government to act immediately, was if someone is in possession of a fraudulent passport, and as a result of being in possession of that fraudulent passport, they have made their way onto the register. And this was an incident where it was articulated by the leader, Michael Pintard, in the House of Assembly. It is on the Hansard, where he raised those folks who were being investigated. And then he raised that out of those folks who were being investigated, there were a number of them who had made their way onto the register. As well as there was another recent case where someone was arrested and their name was on the register as well. That should alarm every single Bahamian that someone could unhold an alleged fraudulent passport, but then can use that alleged fraudulent passport to get themselves on to the voters' register.
So there's two things there. I'd like to modify your statement a bit. What Bahamians hold sacred is this. As a Bahamian, there are some things that are exclusively mine to benefit.
Exclusively.
This is what they hold sacred.
Yes.
One is a passport, and the more important one is the vote.
Yes.
So in our heads, when you are Bahamian, if you are a foreigner or a resident, you could be even legally resident, do all kinds of things. God bless you. Have a good time.
Yes.
Even if you have a work permit, you could wait.
Yep.
But in terms of sacred holdings as a exclusive right to citizenship, voting, and holding that passport.
Yes. And to see a government not take it as seriously as it deserves.
And to take it that way. See, if I'm prime minister, let me tell you how I respond to somebody holding a fraudulent passport. I am going to say what I said when the police got arrested and indicted in the United States of America. I will move heaven and earth to find out what the heck happened in this instance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to find out what happened. This cannot happen. I went to a meeting with Prime Minister Christie on one occasion about something, and listen to me. When he found out, this wasn't about past, but it was about something else. When he found out what was happening, that man said in that same room, he said, listen, I need to know what happened.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you want to feel. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
That there's outrage. That this cannot happen. Not excuses, not allowed. This cannot happen. We need to find out what the deal is here.
Absolutely. And the emotion, the passion that Bahamians feel for this, it demands action. You cannot just talk your way out of this or tell people, you know, calm down, we have it under control. No. This demands specific actions, and the public ought to see it because we have to have confidence in it. So
it's beyond the courts. And it's beyond the courts. It's beyond, I'm putting you before the courts and so forth, which is right to be done. But how would you tell the police, listen, we need a special investigation. How would you tell something that tells me you're trying to find out not merely that somebody was holding the passport illegally. I want to find out how you get there.
How to get it?
Was it you and others? How did this happen?
Because it is our obligation to ensure that it does not happen again. So if you have that obligation and you have that passion to ensure that it does not happen again, how did it happen? And then you must now correct whatever actions have been that are taken, and you must now put a stop to it. But you have to ensure that it doesn't happen again. The public has to have confidence that you are acting in that manner. The public has to see that.
We getting mad when see people talk about this Ingram talk, we mad. This one talk, we mad. You get mad for that? We need to be mad for something as serious as this.
Yep.
Is what I gather from people.
But people, I'm telling you more than other, I mean, this is going to be my, you know, I'm fortunate, blessed that this is going to be my fourth election. And more than ever before, people are saying to me, Mr. Thompson, I am going to vote because of this passport issue. I am going to vote because of this fraudulent document.
Which means the burden will be upon yourselves if you get elected to respond accordingly, right?
Absolutely.
So you can't be business as usual if you get elected going forward. You're right.
It cannot be, and it will not be. This has to be and will be the top priority of a free national movement government. And if you speak to Michael Pintard, and if you listen to what he is saying, in every speech he speaks to this issue, and he speaks to the actions that the FNM will take once we become the government.
Does it concern you, given the many contractual obligations being entered into, the issues related to these documents, the issues related to the parliamentary registration, and other things? Does it concern you guys that if you are successful, that there is possibly greater demand to be placed upon your means than you may have the ability to do so in a reasonable time frame? So maybe you'll be asking people again, come another 5 years?
Well, you know, I always had the belief that you have 5 years.
I said that to somebody today. I said, the deal is 5 years.
You got 5 years. So you got to do what you committed to doing. The key is not to commit to doing anything that you can't do in 5 years. But you have to commit to doing what you can do in that 5 years. I think, one, with respect to the passport, this passport issue, one, there has to be an audit of all of those recent passports. There has to be an investigation, a public investigation, and the public has to be satisfied that you have taken sufficient action to investigate, to find out what went wrong, and to make the corrective action. That is what this government has not been good at. There have been issues with immigration. There's been issues in the Ministry of Finance, issues in beaches and parks, issues in other ministries where the government has made public statements but has not completed investigations, and they have not made those investigations public. That is, you know, going through an audit process and making that audit process public, and you would notice, being a former minister, those audits are helpful in that they tell you what went wrong, but they also give you an opportunity, okay, how are you going to fix it? And then this is the corrective actions that are going to be taken, and so on.
Well, finding out what was wrong and what went wrong, you have the means to make the proper prescription for fixing it. That's really the bottom line. Is you want to find out, you don't want to discover something went wrong. You want to find out why it went wrong.
That's right. And then once you are able to discover what went wrong, then you have to be courageous enough and have the willpower, the political willpower, to make the corrective changes. And that again is where this government, the PLP government, has fallen short. They have not had the political will to do what is necessary. You know, they have, and you mentioned it in terms of what took place in the court in the US, and that was a huge issue for us locally, where the senior police officer responsible for the largest airport in the country, the senior police officer responsible for all of the criminal investigating department here in the country, have had these indictments, but you did nothing in terms of a public investigation to find out what the systemic issue was.
Changed the commissioner of police and made him the
you sent him away.
And who could come back and campaign?
Yeah, you sent him away, gave him another job, and you sent him away. But again, can anyone say what went wrong in the system at the airport? Can anyone say what went wrong at the CID department?
And this notwithstanding that the Prime Minister himself said that he would leave no stone unturned. He would also find out who this political person was suggested by one of the indicted persons.
Yes.
As being available to facilitate whatever. He indicated that he was going to write the U.S. Embassy and do X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
And to this day, we are not aware of a single thing that has transpired arising out of that.
Nothing has happened. And, you know, they passed the law, which was the Integrity Commission, or Investigating Integrity Commission law. But they passed the law, and they only put $30,000 in the budget to implement it, which in essence means you ain't implementing it. You ain't doing nothing.
But a very good thing came out of all the thing, though. We changed the commissioner of police. We have a new commissioner of police.
Yes.
Whether Bahamians want to face it or not, murder rate in the Bahamas has gone down significantly.
Thank God for that.
Under the new commissioner.
Thank God
for
that.
That's what I'm saying. So I've seen that silver lining out of that change. That's what I've seen.
I thank God for that, and thank God for reducing those figures. But the challenge that we are still facing is, has the corrective, or have we determined what went wrong at the airport? Have we determined what went wrong at the CID? And have we been able to correct it?
And the defense forces involved too.
And the defense forces.
Defense officers involved too. So you got all of that matters.
You know, and such a senior officer's position. This isn't just something that happened in some place. You know, this is the officer in charge of the largest international airport in the country.
Yeah.
The officer in charge of the criminal department over the entire country. So these aren't small things that so that, that have taken place.
We got 2 minutes, so you can wrap up, make your pitch.
Yes,
so.
I want to thank you. You know, you have always been my mentor, and so I want to thank you for this opportunity. This is an important election. I mean, without a doubt, this is an important election. We've said to folks in East Grand Bahama, we've said to folks in the Bahamas, that this is bigger than red and it's bigger than yellow. This one is really about saving our country. And we've discussed those issues, our passport, those issues, but it is really about saving our country. We want every Bahamian to go out and vote. We want every Bahamian, whatever your political persuasion is, we want you to get out and exercise your right to vote. We want, if you live in East Grand Bahama, we have articulated what we've done over the last 5 years as your member of parliament. I've laid out the plan as to what we are planning on doing in the next 5 years. We believe we have the better plan. We believe we have been working for the last 5 years. We've been working, we're still working. That's my theme. We've been working and we're still working. And we believe that we have a better plan. Out east, we want to make sure that we bring back families out east, which requires providing a real Crown Land program, which requires providing the infrastructure, requires providing a government housing program, government schools, government buildings, services, and ensure that we have throughout East Grand Bahama to ensure that we have small business development assistance to help small businesses, park developments, to ensure that we help infrastructure developments. And so we need to bring more investment back into Grand Bahama. We need to make sure that we do business and we have focus on the ease of doing business. We need to focus on making sure that we change the structure of the Port Authority where you have more management power, more management authority, more management say by the licensees and the people of Grand Bahama. That's also a mandate that the Free National Movement has promised. And so we will fix the hotel. We will ensure that the hotel will be done. We will fix the hospital. We will ensure that the hospital is fixed. We will fix the morgue. We will fix the airport. All of these things we are mandated and we will do. And we will not come in and scrap everything. We will not have a stop, review, and cancel program. We will look at what has been done and we will build off of what has been done. That review and cancel program, the only person that hurts is the people that live here in Grand Bahama. So we will not.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Kwesi Thompson, Free National Movement candidate for the East Grand Bahama constituency. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Parashivago. Take care, Bahamas. All right. See you. See you on Tuesday.
All right. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. Pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back after this break. If you feel like you make it down the same road.
Get involved.
Voting is one of the most powerful ways Bahamians can shape the future of our country. It is how we make our voices heard on the issues that affect our everyday lives. From the cost of living, jobs, and education, to healthcare, housing, and how we protect our environment. Some people think their vote doesn't matter, but choosing not to vote doesn't stop decisions from being made. It simply leaves those decisions in the hands of others. Now is the time to get informed and get involved. Learn about candidates, ask questions, and compare their priorities. Seek reliable information and participate in public discussions. Then, show up to a May 12th election ready to cast a meaningful vote. Your knowledge matters. Your actions matter. The future of the Bahamas depends on those who show up, speak up, get informed, and get involved. Visit orgbahamas.com/vote for free, neutral voter education resources.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world,
See how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This election night, trust the team you trust every single day. On May 12th, your Guardian radio hosts will be live from 6 p.m. until the election is called, with verified results, breaking developments, and reporting from the entire Guardian News Network, the teams from Guardian Digital and the Nassau Guardian, every day and every election day. Stay with the Guardian News Network on Guardian Radio 96.9 and Star 106 FM.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new Lopin Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
5 years, we struggle as they rule. Our economy in ruins. Job prospects dried up. Hundreds of millions spent on no-bid contracts. Illegal immigrants flooded our communities. Our schools and hospitals broken. And healthcare unaffordable. Now they want 5 more years. If they get it, our future, our Bahamas, is gone. Under the FNM, that changes. Because they know their job is to work for you, not the few.
Every job I've had, I've learned something invaluable. When I was in construction, my brother made us look for the screws and the nails in the dirt because your job could be held up. One of the sayings was, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean. You are always on the clock. The FNM knows a strong economy means better jobs, more money in people's pocket, and a real comeback. And our team will work every day to make it happen.
This message was paid for and authorized by the Free National Movement.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-30-CORE3. The government of the Bahamas, 5 days before election, seems to have consummated a deal with the power company in Grand Bahama to buy outright power company in Grand Bahama. I think that such a move raises many questions. Many, many, many questions. My most particular question would be, how did IRCA deal with this? How did IRCA address this? How did IRCA analyze this? What's the basis of IRCA's approval of this, if in fact IRCA approved it? How did that happen? How did the dynamics of that happen? IRCA is who you rely on as a regulator to protect the particular industry that they regulate. And this seems very odd. Of course, Emera is happy to get its money and break off running from here. Apparently, they couldn't have been making that much money to go out and so easily take the $200 million and break off running. Interesting. What was their financial state? Was it a profitable company? If it was profitable, to what extent? You know what I mean? It's a lot of questions, to be asked. We're now being told that Morton Salt, after kicking up, fussing up about going to lay off people, all of a sudden now, Morton Salt says at the last hour, we've been told by the government that all outstanding matters are going to be concluded for them to their satisfaction. They're not even put $200 million down there in Inagua. Hey, what kind of business you doing? That all of a sudden now, apparently all of the issues you were having that co-op were leading you to lay off people with issues you had with the government. With the government for 4.5 years. And the government is telling you 4 days into an election, it can resolve all those matters and now you can put $200 million on double the employment. That sounds interesting to me, intriguing to me. Very intriguing. What really is the deal? We have a call over listening to me, to you. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Yeah. I was just listening to Mr. Thompson, and he was saying that when they become the government, that they will repair the hotel, right? And they would, some other things he was saying, what he can do.
He used the word fix the hotel.
They had five ministers in Freeport, but he didn't know that it needed to be done then?
Okay, so just so you know, they had the five ministers, as you indicated, but they also had a sale that they had consummated, that a sale for the property with plans for its redevelopment. When they lost office, the government changed that and went a different direction. Now, the same government has had 4+ years, and has anything changed?
But he's saying now they can fix the hospital.
No. But my point to you is, if they had 5 years and didn't fix it, and you're right, this administration has had 5 years and didn't fix it, and that's true. So now if they're saying they would try and fix it when they go back, why wouldn't you say the same thing about the same administration which hasn't fixed it in the years that it's been in office?
But they say they go fix it now.
But see, you listen, man, listen. You got to talk sense now. I am saying to you, has the hotel been fixed?
Okay, it wasn't fixed. But why are you buying the hotel?
Yeah, but see, now you switching your talk, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your calling. See what logic does to you. See, if you are going to speak to somebody, you have to think through your issues, right? You can't just call because you have a political point you want to make, especially if you know the person who is you're talking to is going to think through the issue. So he says, Mr. Thompson knows when they were in office, didn't fix the hotel. He is right. The hotel, and by fix, I mean the hotel did not come back into operation fully and so forth. So he's right. But neither has the Davis administration done so. In fact, it had a couple of deals that none of them have progressed to a operation on development of the hotel. So both of them in the same bag. So now both of them have to speak to the future of what they're going to do. He talks about the hospital. The Ram Memorial Hospital wasn't fixed under the Minnesota administration as it ought to have been, and it ain't been fixed under the Davis administration. In fact, the people who work in it are saying it's the worst it's ever been. So what can the both parties now do? They can only promise what they will do going forward. That's all. Even the COI even wants to talk about those two things, only to talk about what it will do. Okay? So you can't raise the issue of you had a chance to do it and didn't do it. The only people who could raise that issue is the COI. They haven't had a chance. Everybody else, you could say all of them in the same boat. Had a chance, didn't do it. But don't call me and expect me not to reason with you that kind of point. Do you have another call on the line?
Yes, thank you, Minister Lang. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You got that right. Only the COI could raise that point. Now they had a reliable, capable, and credible leader. They might have pulled this election off.
That's the other thing to be assessed.
Pardon me?
That's the other thing to be assessed.
That's right. Now, one thing I want to ask you, going forward into this election, I have the most respect for you. some person said, why you still call him minister? Because that's how much respect I had for you then and still now. Okay, I try to fix my mouth to say Mr. Line. For some reason, I can't say it, right?
You can call me anything you wish, ma'am.
You have to pardon me when I say minister still, okay?
No problem.
Now, what I want to ask you is this, right? I was the advanced poll last week, right?
Yes.
What I see happen, I want you to elaborate on it, because it can't happen going forward in election. I see candidate Minister Line at the door. Candidate working the poll. Now,
what do you mean?
No,
hold on. What do you mean? What do you mean at the door? The law permits. The law permits a candidate to move in and out of the polling station. You can do that as a candidate. Let me help you, ma'am. Let me help you. What you cannot do is you cannot interact with voters.
Well,
you can go in there. You can go
the
in
door.
There. No, but you could be at the door, but if you could be at the door looking in, looking at whatever you might be looking at, and then obviously you can't be there all day long, but you cannot be interacting with voters.
Well, I see a lot of that. Honestly,
okay, that should not be allowed. You cannot be talking to voters. Maybe if you just out of courtesy, good morning, good afternoon, that's expected, but you cannot be talking to voters. That's not allowed. Not while they're on the line, not while they go in the station.
That was the purpose of them hanging around, is to conversate, okay? And maybe you know.
No. But that's different, though. I'm saying if you see them conversating, you can't say the purpose of them hanging around. I'm saying if you see them conversating, that's not allowed. But it can't be a matter of just hanging around, because you have a right to be around the pool as a candidate.
Okay, ma'am. We'll see how that works moving forward. All right.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. Take care. Do we have another call on the line?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Line.
Yes, hey, what's up?
I just want to make a comment with regard to the Grandmama Power Company. I don't think it's any secret that within the last 2 years, Grandmama Power Company has been struggling financially. So if the government is purchasing the power coming in from
you say it's no secret, how would you know what the Grandmama Power Company was doing? How do you know?
Well, I mean that's common knowledge. First of all, I used to work.
It's common knowledge is knowledge, man. How would you know? How does any common person know what the financial operations of the Grandmama Power Company is? Were they published?
Because the power company in recent years has had to apply for several increases in rates.
Yeah, but you could apply for an increase in anticipation of cost increases that you are trying to prevent from deteriorating your financial situation, not because you're in a bad way.
Because of the deteriorating our financial situation.
No. You're not listening to me. No. You can, if any sensible leader would look at their financial circumstances, see that costs are going to increase, and then anticipate that, you know what, in light of that cost increase, let's go ahead and go apply for a price increase so that we could protect the profitable stature of our company. That doesn't mean you're in a bad financial way.
Okay, all right. I hear you. But the Grandmama Power Company has recently applied several times for increases in the last few years for increase in rates, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, they did. They did.
Okay. All right.
But the government of the Bahamas, BPL applied several rate increases over 2 years to Payment Public.
And BPL is being subsidized by taxpayers, right?
Absolutely.
Pardon me?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So if the government purchased Grandmama Power Company and they claim that they're going to reduce the rates by some 37%.
Right.
That money has to come from somewhere.
You better believe it.
Okay. And if the government is now going to have to subsidize this company in addition to BPL, then the taxpayers are going to have to pay for that.
For sure, you know, but what
and,
we don't know...
I made a comment about this on social media, and an analogy I draw with, you know, those who think they're going to be getting this big reduction in the power bill, that's like somebody taking all the money out of your left pocket and putting it right, and making you feel like they gave you something.
Yeah. Well, firstly, we don't know what the situation with the power company is in terms of their financials. So if you cut the rates, how much that's going to affect the power company's financial situation, we don't know. Because it might not cause there to be a subsidy required, or it might be a subsidy required. What we do know is that it, well, let's put it like this. What we can think through is, it seems rather speculative to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the figure out there is some 37% reduction, right?
PM said it could be. It could be as much as that. That's what the PM said.
Yes, and that is no small amount.
No, that's a sick. That's you. Listen, man. If you, I want you to think. You sound like a man that's traveling. I want you to think about any place in the Bahamas or elsewhere in the world where they could easily cut their prices by 37% and they'd be all right.
Exactly. That is my point. So that's all I wanted to comment on. You know, that the money has to come from somewhere and somebody has to pay for it.
I knew where you were going, but, you know, I always want us to be... to speak in a way that is factual, so that
There is no free lunch.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. We have another caller on the line? No? Okay. All right, I'm going to try and get as many of your texts in as I can. This text says, good afternoon, Z. Interestingly enough, they all loved Mr. Ingram said earlier that the election cannot be stolen. Absolutely. Pushed that all over the place. Though I heard you talk about what he said when you addressed him on it, and you talked about this on at least three occasions on your show. Yep, you're absolutely right. When Mr. Ingram said about the election, and they still putting that out and using that as a matter of fact. Interesting how life go, eh? I used to tell FNMs that too. They used to say, boy, Chicago line so arrogant. And then when I go into a situation with PLPs and bust them up with my aggressiveness and so forth. They go, yeah. You can't please nobody. This says, good day, Mr. Lang. I have a question for your guests as I prepare to make my voting decision. See, I heard Mr. Pintad speak to a national lottery, which I support, but I don't really any comment regarding the moratorium on gaming license. Will Bahamians like myself have an opportunity to enter the gaming space once the opportunity to apply presents itself? That's a very good question, man. You need to go find them and ask them that question. Yeah, that's a good question. Don't just settle on it. Go ask them that. That's a good, doggone good question. It's Texas. Mr. Lang, former Prime Minister Ingram gave lots of motivational, inspirational proof why the PLP should not be reelected. Too much damage has been done for us, the Bahamian people, to give this PLP government a second term, says that text. This text says, yes, logic can touch your backside if you aren't ready. Yes, think Bahamas, tell this old crap. His talks are steady changing as you schooled him. boy. So, good day, Mr. Lang. Your speech stirred strong emotional response from me concerning our passport and sacredness. I had to wait until I turned 19 years old to be able to get my passport as a Bahamian. I am a born Bahamian, but due to the unfortunate circumstances surrounding my father's death and so on, I take my passport and the ability to travel the world very sacred and a privilege, as you rightly stated. If one passport is called into question, then it is possible for all passports to be called into question, especially our new passport. So this is literally a matter of national sovereignty and security, and it should be considered treasonous. I think many of us existing laws need to be amended to reflect the severity of this crime when it affects us like this. Okay, beautiful. This text is, Shivago, did the Grand Bahama Power Company publish an annual financial statement? Do you know? Not to my knowledge. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hi, afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
Listen to me, man. I got goosebumps and the fire got in my belly like it had worse in 92 and 97 when Mr. Ingram speak. I just amazed on how sharp as a tack he still is at his age. It is unbelievable. And like P.C. Thompson said, he actually will deliver a message like a baby could understand. You know, the thing about it is, I call you to tell you about his speech concerning you. He said that the Lang was a little teeny pop, a young fella who had $14,000, and his opponent had $14 million in the campaign, and he was in referencing it to Travis Robertson, and you know who. It is amazing how he brought that point forward. And I am an advocate of watching and listening to the election, and that one slipped me. And when Mr. Ingram brought that forward, I was so amazed on that. I just thought I'd touch on that, you know.
Man, thank you, brother. Appreciate you calling. This text says, Mr. Lang, you remind me 100% like Papa Ingram, the way how you and Papa deliver and execute, how both of you speak and very related to the crowd. Politics, I believe, is your calling. Continue what you are doing. So politics is my calling. This text says, Mr. Lang, if the PLP wins this general election, myself and some of my colleagues in the healthcare system have made up our minds that we would change careers. Wow, no, man. Our healthcare system cannot take another 5 years under the PLP, man. We need y'all. Yeah, we need y'all. They say, a few weeks ago, I could not determine who was going to win this election. I'm changing that view, not because of rally sizes or statements from the FNM supporters. My view is changing based on what the PLP is saying and doing. They are spending wildly. Where the money coming from? And if it's a legitimate expenditure, that's another debate. I see a party running scared and doing everything possible to stay in power. Their internal information cannot look very good, says that texter. This text says, you spoke of an NIB number assigned to someone else. The data commissioner has yet to speak on what is the largest data breach in the history of the Bahamas. 200,000 plus linked names, addresses, date of birth, and voter ID numbers were publicized for every hacker, an ID theft ring. A note, not one word from the data commissioner or assurance that the leak has been resolved. Now, first of all, the publication of the voter register is a matter of law. So you can't call that no leak. That's no leak. Let's talk stupid talk. That is the law. The parliamentary commissioner is required by law to gazette that and that. Okay? So don't talk nonsense. And the phone book up more contact names and addresses than that. Y'all need to talk sense some days, man. This says, good day, illegal immigrants is one thing. Illegal immigrants with one document, with our documents, is totally different. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, hello. What's up?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, what's
great
on?
Show. You know, I wanted to get on for Mr. Thompson, but because you remind me of something. But you're always talking about the situation. Firstly, I'd like to say thank you to Mr. Ingram. That's more my boy. You know, he know my face personally, but I just wanted to say this. I appreciate what he said, but he juxtaposed a scenario in which work permits and then passports subsequently. But I also want to remind the general public that of the inglorious scenario with the Curtis guy in New York with the indictment, right? Right? Mm. That Mr. Davis also said that it was entrapment, which I thought was some inglorious BS. Have a good day.
Okay, brother. It says, another thing we don't know is whether the recent ID card breaches are among the 78 reported by Mr. Pintado. Do they indicate a wider spread of ill-gotten ID cards? This text says, I'm tired of hearing that the PLP and the FNM just alike. Mr. Thompson sounds like sensible and mature. He's always been a very sensible and mature young man. And when he said I mentored him, I was his director of youth at a church for some time. It says, good day, Mr. Lang and Mr. Thompson. I think it's fair to remember that Mr. Davis said publicly that Mr. Elvis Curtis was all involved in an entrapment scheme. Yes, which was a very curious thing for a prime minister to say. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. Let's not forget when the PLP came to power, within a few days, the DPM claimed that they had a deal to sell the hotel. It never materialized. In addition, just last year, or year before last, with great fanfare, they partied and claimed that the hotel was sold again, but no money in the bank. It's Texas language. When you look at the issue with the Freeport power being bought, that's baloney. Why put this country in deeper debt if they say IRCA is the regulator for the power company in Freeport? Why buy the power company? Wouldn't we be getting the same rate as Nassau Power, lower than them? It's Texas. Mr. Lang, what is Mr. Pintard talking about that he welcomes all persons coming here legally? The problem is these legal persons like Haitians, Jamaicans, and Indian Chinese are not going back home to their country. They are all staying and applying for citizenship by thousands. Fix the damn loophole. What you mean? But you mean you want to be sad that people are coming here legally? You know how many tourists and millions come here legally and you get the benefit? Hey, I'm sad that we have people coming here legally. I go on. Say the Gazette does not include date of birth and voter's ID. The problem is the linking of the known details to unknown details. This is what hackers spend time consulting. It doesn't matter. The law requires the commissioner to publish the information. Period. You've been listening to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. So glad you could join us today. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. And you know tomorrow is the last Friday before Mother's Day. Y'all take care. Have a great afternoon. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Turn a trip to Burger King Nassau into a galactic adventure with the Mondo and Grogu Whopper Combo featuring special shake fries. Whether you're a bounty hunter in training or just here for your way, Burger King Nassau has everything Mandalorian and Grogu related you could want. Grab the toys, the mugs, the crowns, and your crew and head on down to BK and celebrate the Mandalorian and Grogu adventure with Burger King Nassau. This is the way.
Are you a tourism business owner or ready to become one? At the Tourism Development Corporation, we work with tourism entrepreneurs at every stage, turning ideas into thriving businesses and helping existing ones grow. From business development support and funding opportunities to targeted initiatives and strategic partnerships, we're here to help you take that next step. Build your future in tourism with the Tourism Development Corporation. Visit tdcbahamas.com to learn more.